There is something quite appropriate in the way the season of Christmas brings us this little bit of the lectionary today. We are still in those happy 12 days of the season of Christmas, and somehow between the 25th of December and the 6th of January, the Epiphany, when we have Jesus being baptized by John there at the Jordan, we have to compress 30 years of Jesus' life, from his birth in that stable to the beginning of his public ministry. So somehow, in this space of days, today, right at the very end of our time of intense family gathering, with everybody being together and not being able to escape from each other, the lectionary brings us to that wonderful moment so beloved by so many parents, the years of adolescence. I think it will not cause controversy among us if I assert from this pulpit the idea that adolescence is and always has been a time of turmoil and trouble. Earl Wilson, an influential newspaper columnist back in his day, used to say that adolescence and snow were the only two problems that would go away if you just ignored them long enough. That may be true, but at least when there's snow, you know it will end. When you are an adolescent, you sometimes feel as though it will never end. And when you are the parent of an adolescent, at least sometimes you can't imagine it ending soon enough. We are an Episcopal church. And one of the things that means is that we believe when it comes to the work that Jesus does, God's work of reconciliation, it is the beginning of the story, the birth, the life, the teachings of Jesus that count as much as the end of the story, the passion, the death, and the resurrection. Another way to say that is that we are incarnational Christians, that we believe in the incarnation of Christ as the place to put our emphasis and our attention when it comes to understanding not just what it is that Jesus does in saving us, but how it is that that gets done. We did not invent this idea. It was part of the earliest thinking of the church, going back to the earliest conversations about just what and who Jesus was, and how it could be that Jesus of Nazareth was also the Christ of God. It was in the 4th century, back when these debates were beginning to bear fruit in the language of the creed that we say, that a bishop named Gregory of Nazianzus first articulated this basic idea by arguing that it was, in fact, through the fullness of Christ's humanity that our own humanity was brought into the picture of salvation. Gregory put this argument in words that still stand as an efficient summary of the Anglican idea of who Christ is. When he described how Christ took on human nature, he put it in these terms: that which is not assumed is not healed. That which is not assumed is not healed. What that means, in simple terms, is that Jesus takes on our human experience fully and completely so as to leave nothing beyond the reach of God's reconciling love. That means it must mean everything about us, not just the pleasant or polite or pious parts about our humanity, but the parts we would rather not discuss. Our capacity for compassion, yes, but also our capacity for pettiness. Our highest and most noble moments, yes, but also our ability to live in fear. Our faith, yes, but our doubts as well. All of it captured in Jesus' humanity, even, yes, our adolescence. This morning's story from Luke is one of the few glimpses that we ever catch of the adolescence of the boy who grows from the child in the manger. And what we learn is that Jesus was pretty much the same as any other adolescent. He followed his own impulses. He had a limited capacity for following the plain instructions of his parents. He was always ready with an excuse for his absence. Jesus had been taken to Jerusalem by his parents. They have gone to Jerusalem because they are faithful Jews, and that is what faithful Jews of that day did every year for the Passover. They are three among hundreds of thousands of pilgrims who are all coming to Jerusalem for the same reason. And as they leave, they somehow lose track of each other in the throngs of people. And you can sort of imagine the conversation that must have ensued between Mary and Joseph. "I thought you had him." "Me? You said you were following him." They do what all panicked parents would do. They head back to where they last saw him. And you can imagine how that trip went too, at least if you are the kind of forgetful, absent-minded, addlepated, chronic misplacer of things that I am. And of course, they eventually catch up with him. And we know the rest of the story, even if at least part of the rest of the story, the part about Jesus being obedient to them for the rest of his youth, that may be the least believable phrase in the entire Bible. In this little family drama are any number of other little family dramas. In this little story are all of the calls from all of the worried parents to all of the marginally responsible children on New Year's Eve. In this story are all of the gentle and not so gentle requests for a call or a text or some sort of word to tell me who you're going with and where you're going and when you got there. Within this little story is all of the desperation of all of the mothers and fathers trying to get their children out of the bloody chaos of Syria and Iraq into some place, any place that will be safe. Within this story is the worry and dread of every parent of every child of color when that child goes to walk in the streets of our cities. Within that story is all of the concern, all of the care, all of the anxiety that loving parents everywhere know keenly when they raise children who become adolescents. If it is true that nothing about this life of ours that is not somehow assumed by Jesus gets healed, and if it is true that in fully living into our humanity, Jesus acts to sanctify every aspect of our lives, then it must be true that family life, and especially the labors of parenting, in all of its complexity, in all of its difficulty, the anxiety and the joy, the pain and the pride, all of it must be part of what the incarnation encompasses. Jesus is lost, and Jesus eventually is found. His parents, who endure the in-between of worry and concern, his parents sanctify our own worries, our own heartbreaks, our own anxieties, and our own triumphs on behalf of the children we bear, the children we love, the children whose guidance is entrusted just for a little while to us. Amen.